UnseenMadison.com presents audio snapshots, past and present, about Madison's most remarkable lake, Lake Wingra. In episode 2, we visit two large springs in the UW Arboretum that once held special meaning.
It's a place that's fun to explore any time of the year. It's scenic in different ways. Probably the plant you'll see in the wintertime is the watercress, and it stays green year-round while the spring stays open. I always think it's kind of interesting when you're here in the winter when there's snow cover and everything is the landscape is predominantly white and you've got these dark tree trunks, and then right where the spring is, it's like a green trail with the watercress. I always try to imagine what that would look like if you look down from above. You could follow the streams by their bright green color.
That was naturalist Kathy Miner from the UW Arboretum, describing a midwinter scene at Big Spring, located in the Arboretum and the largest of Lake Wingra's springs. Next, Charles Brown, longtime director of the State Historical Society Museum, describes Big Spring in his 1927 article, The Springs of Lake Wingra. Kathy Miner follows with her own observations of the spring.
Big Spring. This is today the better of the two fine springs located in the Lake Forest woodland. It is connected with the lake by a little crest-grown stream flowing to the lake through a small strip of Lake Wingra Marsh. The vicinity of this spring has been for many years a well-known picnic ground for groups of university students and nature lovers. Its cool waters are most refreshing, and many a steak has been broiled at campfire places near its brink.
In the wintertime coming down to Big Spring, obviously you've got snow cover all over the slopes, and you have the pleasure of looking for animal tracks along the trails and things. When you get down there, there may be some interesting ice formations on the rocks. The spring itself is open, like all of these springs, continues to flow all year long, and it's a place where there's still a source of fresh running water, and I'm sure that was important to people a long time ago. Today at Big Spring, you can stand on an overlook and look out over a conglomeration of rocks and watch the water making its way down toward the lake. You can see tamaracks in the distance. They are bare in the wintertime, but they will have needles, fresh needles every spring. It's a place to stand and reflect and to listen to the quiet sounds of the water. We don't think of springs as having economic import anymore, but they have a great value in beauty and in peacefulness for people.
Charles Brown also described nearby White Clay Spring in 1927. Brown begins by explaining the importance of Lake Wingra's many springs.
Being in fact a small natural drainage basin, Lake Wingra formerly had upon its shores a greater number of fine large springs than any other of the Madison lakes. Most of these springs are still in existence. There is no doubt that the number and size of them were largely responsible for the location of the 6 different early Indian village sites and the large number of Indian mounds, 150, on its shores. White Clay Spring. This spring is situated in the woods a short distance east of Big Spring. It takes its name from the gray-white color of the surrounding mud. It also is connected with the lake by a crest-grown brook. L.W. Gay of Madison states that in his boyhood, he obtained some of his pocket money by gathering the watercress, which grew so abundantly in the spring, and the bed of the rivulet leading from it to the lake, and selling it in Madison. The family groups of Winnebago who camped in the woods near the spring nearly every year up to 1910 spoke of this as a medicine spring and regarded its waters as most health-giving. Those of the Big Spring they considered bad, and because of this superstition, they never made use of them either for drinking or in cooking their food. Where the waters of the White Clay Spring emptied into the lake was a spot formerly resorted to by the Indians in the wintertime for the catching of large turtles for food.
On the hillside above Big Spring and White Clay Spring stand Wingra Woods, composed of oaks with an understory of sugar maple and basswood. Naturalist Kathy Miner talks about her favorite season to visit this area.
Early spring, or the end of April and the beginning of May, is probably my favorite time to be walking around in the Arboretum woodlands, just because that's when the spring wildflowers are popping out. And there's a whole complex of wildflowers known as the spring ephemerals, ephemeral just meaning something that doesn't last very long, that have to carry out their whole life cycles between when the ground thaws enough for them to be able to grow, and before the trees leaf out and deprive them of most of the sunlight. Because, of course, when the trees are still bare, the sunlight, most of it is still reaching the forest floor, and those plants can photosynthesize and do what they do. But that time period in between those two things, the thaw and the leafing out, is only about 6 weeks here. So these spring ephemerals have evolved a really, really fast life cycle where they come up and leaf out and flower and set seed and die back completely within that time period. And, you know, it's an amazing adaptation to getting along in a climate like this, precisely because they're here for such a short time. They're such a treat while they are.
Lake Wingra and the UW Arboretum possess not only abundant springs and rich history. For a city dweller, places like this are ideal for learning to pay attention to nature's details.
I think people still need to spend time outdoors, in quiet places and away from too much artificial noise and artificial stimulation. I think we need to slow our pace and our listening down. Sometimes I think about it in terms of deep listening, that you retune your ears to the quieter sounds in nature and into waiting for them when they come, as opposed to expecting things on demand. Today's culture, we can get almost anything, almost anytime we want it. We can go to the ATM and get money 24/7, and a lot of stores are open either all night or late. And so, and with the internet, we have access to information just anytime we want it. It's different out in nature. You have to wait for the wild creatures to come to you. And I guess I think it's really healthy for people to disconnect from things for a while and come and learn the virtue of waiting and of being quiet.
Thank you for listening to this Unseen Madison podcast, produced by Jeff Durbin and Gordon Heingartner. Please visit us online at unseenmadison.com for more Lake Wingra stories.